Sit down, young man.
Yeah, my high school wrestling team, Gilroy High School, and then my Daniel Cormier wrestling team out of AKA, and the Gilroy Hawks, they're all here wrestling in the Freak Show tournament. So we had it on the schedule, and with the PI being in town, it's 1 hour flight, can do my sparring here, so it kind of still worked.
So, I mean, when you got this fight booked, was there any consideration? I mean, I'm getting ready for a UFC title fight. Maybe I got to put the kids on the back burner.
This is what I've always done. I've never stopped coaching. I mean, when I hurt myself before the Jones fight, I had my leg was messed up. And we had our state tournament, so I still went. And that's kind of how it got out, because I was limping. And ultimately, I was too hurt to fight. But, yeah, I don't usually put the kids on the back burner for much.
Well, let's start with the hand. That's the question I think everybody wants to know. Give us the update, the status of the hand.
Nah, I feel great, man. I got an x-ray. My hand's not broken, as I said. Felt like my finger was jammed. If you've had a jammed finger before, you know that sometimes it just takes you being man enough to push it down and crack it. And that's kind of where I am right now. I've been punching. I've been sparring for the last 2 weeks, and I feel great. I'm excited, ready to go.
Is it affecting strength, or like grip strength, or anything like that at this point?
You know, I thought it might, but no. I was able to grip and wrestle. The other day I wrestled with De'Ron Wynn, who's on the U.S. national team right now. And we went 5 6-minute rounds in a row, 1 minute break in between. And for me to be able to do that, let me know that I'm okay.
Very nice. I want to ask you about your status in taking this fight. I mean, Derek kind of spelled it out. I think a lot of us felt the same way. You know you've got that big money Brock Lesnar fight out there on the horizon. Of course, the UFC needs you in this fight. But for you to take this fight, is it almost like saying, I know I can win this fight. I know I can beat this guy, because you wouldn't want to lose that big Brock payday.
Well, I think I can beat everybody. Every time I fight, I try to go and win the fight. You know, you guys know I do this on the other side of the camera too. So when I look at the matchup and everything, I think if I do the correct things, I can put myself on par with him in terms of cardio and conditioning. And honestly, when you watch me compete, that's generally what puts me over the top on a lot of guys. I mean, I'm not the biggest guy. I'm not the tallest. I'm not the most physically gifted guy. But when I'm in there, I work hard. And usually I work so hard that guys can't keep up. And when I watch Derek fight, I know he's got a ton of heart, but that only takes you so far. You need so much more, and I feel like I have that much more.
You took the time to respond on social media yesterday saying, I am taking you seriously. Yeah. Don't worry about that. So did you watch his interview? Did you see the headlines?
I didn't. I just got some tweets saying that he thought he can get me because I'm not taking him serious, but that's one mistake we don't make at the American Kickboxing Academy. Everybody is worthy. And where's the idea that this guy doesn't deserve a title shot? This guy's ranked number 2 in the world. He just beat the number 1 and 2 ranked guys in his last 2 fights and within, 3 months? I mean, he's won 9 out of his last 10 fights. This guy deserves to be in this position. But sometimes success leads to an obstacle that may be a little bit too big to conquer. And I think this is the one that he's going to struggle with.
Well, last thing for me, I want to ask you about your interaction. Since this fight got announced, everybody's been going back to that press conference footage of you putting him on blast, saying he was getting you in the back. What happened that day? Tell us your idea fully. What happened backstage that day? Do you think he was, trying to intimidate you a little bit or plant the seed for this fight?
I think he was just being Derek Lewis. I don't think Derek Lewis really pays much attention to anything in regards to intimidation or any of that stuff. He's kind of who he is. We started talking. I've always kind of... As you guys all like him because of the way he is, we do too as fighters. So I've always kind of had that place inside of me that goes, this dude's not bad. He's an okay guy. But let me put things into perspective for you. I like Derek Lewis. I think I love Dan Henderson. And you saw what I did to him. So when Derek Lewis gets locked in that octagon, there is no friendship. There is no peace. I'm going to go and try to destroy him. He's a good fighter. But he's a self-proclaimed brawler, and that generally doesn't get it done against a level of fighter that I am.
How did this fight come together, DC? Because you were kind of ready to wait almost for Brock, and that's obviously going to be a huge money fight for you. But this opportunity came along, and what kind of sealed the deal for you?
When he called me and asked me to do the fight, I'm kind of a sucker for like historics, right? So when they go, man, you're going to, you know, they can go, Daniel, we're going to give you X amount of dollars. And I'll be like, wow, that's pretty good. But they go, Daniel, we're going to give you X amount of dollars to fight so-and-so at Madison Square Garden. Do you remember when Muhammad Ali fought at Madison Square Garden? And I'm like, oh, shit, he did, huh? Like, Mike Tyson fought there, too. I'm like, oh, yeah, he did. I'm like, man, this was some of the, this place has hosted some of the greatest fights in history. Could you imagine your face on the side of the Garden? And I'm like, I could. It's like stuff like that. You know, it's like, that shit means something to me. And it's like, they trick me like that sometimes. Like, I'm like, yeah, I want to fight at the Garden. You know, it's like, you know, this is a chance for you to fight at the Garden. I'm like, yeah, you know what? I'm going to fight at the Garden. Well, it's a lot of money, too, obviously. And again, you know, breaking down the style matchup, I think it's a fight that I could get ready for in a short period of time. But I get to main event the Garden. Like, seriously. Like, I've main evented fights in Vegas, Los Angeles County, the Garden, Houston, Texas. I mean, it's been everywhere now, so those things mean something to me.
Is it risky, though? I mean, think about it. In one night, we know what's happening to the light heavyweight title, right? Like it or not, that's what's happening. In one night, you could lose the heavyweight title, you could lose that big money fight with Brock, and the light heavyweight title we know is disappearing as well.
Not really, honestly, because if I lose to Derek, then who's to say I don't go, hey, I'm going to go defend my light heavyweight title. Now you can't take it. So, hey, maybe that adds a whole nother part to the equation. You can't take both of my belts if I lost that one, right? So do I really have all that much to lose if I have a second one? Look at it like that.
So technically, you're still the light heavyweight champion.
I am the light heavyweight champion until those guys fight. So if the light heavyweight champion loses his heavyweight title and goes, wait, I'm willing to defend my belt. Now we have some conversations to have.
Is there any anxiety about maybe having one of them lost or taken away?
There's anxiety every time I fight, but that doesn't matter. I mean, you got to remember, you know, to think, oh, man, it could all be gone in no time. Last July, I had zero. I lost. And then they said, here, you can have it back. You know, so, I mean, really, I had none. I had no titles. So it's not like I have a... From 2009 to 2013, I had no UFC titles. Then for about a month in 2017, I had no UFC titles. So, I mean, you know, not having a UFC title isn't new to me. It's just now I have them in abundance. I've got two. Six, actually.
I'm curious. You know, we're talking about you being a sucker for big moments. Obviously, the Lesnar fight has been dangled in front of your face and a lot of people's faces, but is there any worry on your case? We've seen this before. Fights, promises, not made. Like, what if this was a situation where John Jones goes out, he wins his fight against Alex, and then they, for whatever reason, give him Lesnar, and they have, like, an elimination? Is there any worry on your part that doesn't happen?
No. Generally, I don't get... I got to be honest with you. Over the course of my career, I haven't been done like that. I've never had anything promised to me that hasn't been delivered. The UFC's been good to me, and... I don't worry about that. Like, I know I'm going to fight Lesnar. And there's nobody or anything that could change that. So they've never done me like that. So there's no reason to believe that it would start now. That's my fault. That's Bobby Roode's.
glorious.
That's Bobby
Roode's.
I
was waiting for the glorious.
Turn the volume off. Yeah, it's Bobby Roode's glorious. Yeah,
drop.
I know. Ridiculous.
It's a tease.
DC, were you home watching his win against Volkov?
I was in the battles in the arena.
You were there?
Yeah, okay. Habib's fight, so... yeah, I was there.
That's right, of course, you were already.
Habib, yeah, I was there, and it was cool, you know? I mean, to watch Derek, all right, do what he's done, because his story is well documented, right? The guy had a tough start to his adult life, right? To become what he's become, a millionaire, a successful black man, is something to truly appreciate. So when I watch him overcome what happened in the Volkov fight, it's not surprising. He has seen the very worst, right? This is a guy that society probably wrote off. Like, you're in prison. You have nothing to give back. But he overcame that. So to watch a man get beat for 14 minutes and win that fight in that fashion, some people may be surprised. Derek Lewis, no. This guy's a warrior. He's a fighter. And he fought in life. That makes it easy to fight in the octagon. So it was very impressive, but not unexpected, because I respect what he's had to accomplish to get to where he is today. But again, I won't let him off the hook. There's no Hail Marys. when you're fighting someone like me. You got to do, he's going to have to set up that strike more than he's ever had to set up that strike in his career. I'm not going to just hang my chin out there from the hit.
Daniel, what do you think of Stipe's recent
sort
of pilot campaign?
Man, it's weird. I don't get it. But I kind of like that he's being vocal because, shit, maybe he should have before we fought the first time. We'd have made more money. He's just in his claims to warranting a rematch. But I'm not afraid of him. So the whole ducking thing kind of takes me by surprise. But I don't mind it. I don't mind him trying to build support. It's insane, though, because this is a man that had the heavyweight title for 2 years and people never truly took notice. But now that I'm fighting Derek Lewis, everybody seems to support Stipe. It's a weird, weird thing. And I like Stipe. I think he's a great guy. But to say that I'm ducking you, I mean, I beat you in a round, you know? I beat you in a round. That's not a lie. It's not a false claim. He said he was beating me in the round, and maybe, but it was close. It's not like he was just washing me out. I mean, I was kind of getting started, you know. I lost the first round to Anthony Johnson both times we fought. I lost rounds to Alexander Gustafsson. I lose a lot of first rounds sometimes because I know I have five. And again, that grind don't stop. I'm going to keep going.
You mentioned that you didn't make much money, but that was a hugely promoted fight, champion versus champion. You can't tell us how much money, but in comparison to some of your other fights, how well did that fight do for you?
I made a lot of money on the front end, right? When you fight a guy like Stipe, they don't just say, hey, fight Stipe, and then you go, okay, I'll do it for whatever fight first I'm just making. No, I made a lot of money on the front end. But on the pay-per-view side, we did okay. I mean, in today's climate, we did okay. But, I mean, I know what a big one looks like. You know, I know what 900,000 looks like against John Jones. I know what 1.1, 1.2 million looks like against Brock Lesnar. I know what it looks like. So when I'm staring on the barrel of a 400, 425, I'm like, wow, if there's better out there, then why not see? Let's see what all this Derek Lewis hype is about. Let's see if people like him enough to not only follow him, but to want to watch him fight. Let's see. Let's see how many of these people and these fans that he gained on the night with Conor and Khabib that are going to continue to follow him. Let's see, because I don't know. So let's see.
When you were near the cage with Khabib that night in Vegas, what were you saying to him, and what was that experience like? Was it just craziness?
You know, the crazy thing is we're fighters, so the initial reaction is like, oh, my God, I'm going to go help my teammate. You know, I'm going to go fight. But then when I got out, I was like, wait a minute, what am I thinking? And so when I finally get to Khabib, he's like, he's going crazy. It was the funniest shit I've ever seen, honestly. Because here is the deal. Okay. I'll admit this. All right. For me, it sucks that it was like in front of all these people. But again, it was like a whole bunch of dudes just kind of fighting, acting crazy, right? It was like, what are you guys doing? It's like every city in the country, every Saturday in some freaking street bar or a club, this is going on. It just happened between a whole bunch of Russian guys and a whole bunch of Irish guys in front of millions of people. So for me, I had to kind of separate the idea that I was kind of laughing to like trying to go like, guys, we are probably in front of the biggest viewership we've ever had. So I walk over to Khabib and the tall guy, English guy, tall English guy, the UFC security guy.
Steve.
And my guy with the black hair, shorter.
Kenny.
Stephen Kenny. They've got Khabib, right? So Stephen Kenny got Khabib. Khabib's yelling. Ah! It's like, hey, Khabib. And then the guy, he sees me, gets, the guy's like, DC just said. He goes, this is my capitan. Let him talk to me. I said, yo. He goes, what? I go, what the fuck is going on? I go, what are you doing? He goes, I want my belt. I go, okay, just relax. He goes, I just give me my belt. Because I guess Dad told me he wasn't getting his belt. So I go, come on, guys, take him back to the cage. Let him get his belt. We'll get him out of there. So then we get back to the cage. And Dana comes over. And I'm like, hey, just give him his belt. He goes, I'm not giving him his belt out here. He goes, if I put this belt around him right now, he's going to start throwing shit. He goes, they're going to throw stuff into the octagon. He goes, it's going to be get bad. So people are like, what are you talking about? Give me my belt. He's yelling, going crazy. And finally, I convince him and go, hey, man, if they give you the belt, they're going to start throwing stuff at you. And it's going to get ugly in here. And he goes, I go, we have to just go back to the back. And he's like, but where's my belt? I go, he'll give it to you in the locker room. Like, he was just solely focused on the belt at this point. I guess he had a, you know, done whatever he wanted to do, and now he just wanted his belt. So we leave, and we go. We finally get him going back, and sure as shit, they start throwing stuff at us when we're walking out of the arena. And then when we get to the locker room, I asked him. I go, hey. He goes, yeah. I go, so what was the desired outcome there? I go, did you want to step on his head? Like, what did you want to do? Like, what in your mind were you wanting to accomplish? Were you going to drop kick him, double foot kick him? Like, what were you doing? He goes, brother, I don't know. I lose my mind. I said, I know you did. Sorry. It was funny. I thought it was okay. I mean, it sucked. He's going to get fined, but, you know, whatever. You know, it is what it is. It happened.
Were you surprised that it happened the way it did? Like, when Habib went over the cage, like, you know Habib real well. Were you surprised that he was capable of doing that after a
fight? No. No, because one time I did him something and hurt his neck at practice, and they were about to kick my ass. And seriously, they all started standing up, and they were kind of surrounding me. That's Sean Bunch. Bunch came over. He was about to get you. I said, I think so. He's like, those guys don't play around, man. It's like, they got up. They actually got up and like, I was like, hey, man, don't ever come in here and try to jump me. It's my gym, you know? But like, they don't mess around, man. Khabib does not play around, and he is honestly the crown jewel of that circle. They love him, and rightfully so. We all do too. So when he felt that that was happening and disrespectful, I mean, I just didn't know what was going to happen. But I know that during the build-up, he wasn't building a fight. He was just getting madder and madder and madder. Conor's still just building a fight. So it just was kind of there on two different wavelengths.
Is there a difference between what Khabib did and what the other guys who jumped in the cage and kind of did? Or is it all just
it's kind of all shit, you know, but the reality is, like, the guy that punched Conor, that was bad, man. He shouldn't have been in there to do that. You know, I can't condone that action. Conor hit Manop, the guy that fights in the World Series fight? Is it still World Series fight? PFL? He's going to fight in that tonight, I think. He got punched on the cage, and he had a black eye. He had a black eye. So he came to practice on Monday. I go, hey, he's what? What, brother, what? I said, Conor McGregor went upside your head, huh? He was mad at me because he had the biggest black eye. He kind of got him with a good one. On the side of the octagon, exhausted, he got him with a good one because Manop had a big old black eye. I said, Conor went upside your head, huh? He's like, brother, don't say this, please. And then Conor and Zubai were kind of fighting with each other. I mean, as you watch it more and more, they were fighting with each other. You know, Conor hit him, Zuba hit him. You know, so it was all bad. But I think ultimately the worst action was probably, I can't remember the dude's name anymore. Not Zub. It was the other guy. The other guy, I can't remember his name. He just kind of hit him. He didn't even really get him good, though. He, like, hit him with his...
From behind.
Yeah, like the guy... Yeah, that was the worst action, I feel. Everything else was... Whole bunch of guys fighting.
It's funny that you're laughing about it, and we're all kind of having fun about it now. But at the time, it seemed like a pretty serious. People were saying it's a black mark on the sport. It's a black eye for the sport. What are your thoughts on that?
It's no black eye for the sport, man. We fight. That's what we do. You know, we fight, and you got a lot of very smart, educated men in this game. But sometimes emotion drives the ship, and on that night, emotions drove the ship. This fight was kind of built in very bad place, right? Like, it started with, it really started just kind of normal, you know, like teammates talking about a potential fight between the two. Then Habib slaps the kid, right? Because again, he's like, yo, you want, don't say this or don't call me whatever you called me, because it was blurred out. He smacked him. Conor, in defense of his friend, says, no way, you're not going to corner my guy. Another action that is not, I don't commend him throwing the hand trap, but him wanting to approach Khabib because what they did to his friend, that's fine, but it's still a bad action. That action earned a title shot, right? Essentially earned a title shot. Then it just kept growing and growing and growing, and it kind of ended where it started. It ended in shit, it started in shit, and that's just the way it is.
You feel this has ended?
No, far from it, man. I don't think this is over. I don't think it's going to be a brawl again, but I don't think that there's ever going to be friendship between those two groups of people. And that's okay. Everybody doesn't have to be friends.
Yeah. Were you surprised that Khabib was able to, like, taper? You talked about how pissed he was, the emotion that he had. Like, he didn't show it during the fight. He was able to control it, and then he let it loose after the fight.
But are you sure, though? I mean, when you're are you sure he was tapering his emotion? Yeah. You're beating the shit out of a guy, right? You're on top of him beating him. What could feel sweeter than the guy that you dislike the most? You get the punch in the face, right? You heard him. Let's talk. I mean, come on. You want to talk? Let's talk now. As he's pelting him in the face. That's not tempering your emotions. I mean, it's just in our work, in our line of business, you get to fight to cause and settle your issues, right? And that's what happened.
Could he have ended that fight earlier, you think? Or do you think he kind of dragged it up?
Connor actually fought well. I mean, I thought it was a testament to his toughness, his preparation, that he was able to defend takedowns at the level that he could, and also to be able to survive on the ground. I mean, he was doing a good job of creating enough space to not take big damage. And then in the second round, when it got real ugly, he didn't turn over and quit. So, yeah, it was hats off to him.
Should there be a rematch?
I mean, financially, yes. But if you're Team Connor, I mean, I don't know why you would think it's going to play out different. Because, again, I thought he fought well. I thought that he did a good job of defending takedowns. I don't know how much more he can learn to change the outcome. There's a big gap in terms of what happens between those two on the ground. And it would take so much time to try to change it.
What do you think about this Khabib Floyd talk?
I think it's insane. Khabib better not do that. I mean, unless he's just going to get paid, because teammate or no teammate, he's getting beat up by Floyd Mayweather. And he's too tough to quit. So he'll just get beat up for 12 rounds. And getting beat up for 12 rounds is not good.
I wanted to ask about getting back to you. You're coming to the end of the line, your ride, by your own words. When you put that in your head, they say when you talk about getting out of retiring, it's time to get out. What does that do to you mentally? Is it a letdown, or do you have to guard against something? Does something turn over in your mind once you know you're gonna walk away?
That was the difference when I was wrestling and thinking about retiring as to fighting and thinking about retiring. I see the other side of fighting for me already, right? I see the commentary. I see the TV hosting. I see all that stuff, and I experience it, but try not to get too comfortable in it, because the moment I get too comfortable in that life, it'll be hard to get back in the gym and train. I mean, Wednesday I sparred 5 rounds with 3 different guys. I mean, it feels much better to sit at a crafts table wearing an expensive suit that barely fits by the time you're getting into retirement, you know? So I know the day's coming, but I push it back far enough to know that I can't look forward to it until it's like it's time.
Would you go out on a loss, or would you go out on a win? Do you have an idea of how you want this to end?
The last time I chased a win was at the craps table, and shit didn't turn out good for me.
Have you been last time we talked, you were a blackjack guy. You transitioned to craps?
I try them all now.
Okay.
Yeah, a little bit, not too much, but yeah, that's the last time I've chased it. Was you see some of the greatest fighters ever. Go, I just got to get one more win. And then you get that win and you're like, you know what? I'm still here. I can still do this. No. You have to accept when it's over, win or lose. And I just hope that I'm not one of those guys that did something for so long at such a high level that you have to go out on your back. I don't want to go out on my back.
Is your birthday still a hard deadline? Or?
That's Well, this works perfect, right? November, March.
Right.
It works perfect.
But, I mean, you win those two. Who knows what kind of multi-million-dollar fight could be out there for you? You know, if the UFC comes, hey, one more DC. We got this other amazing venue that you can headline at where Muhammad Ali fought and Mike Tyson fought. And oh, by the way, you know, it's a $20 million payday that's going to change, you know, life for you and your family forever. You know, I mean,
I'm glad you don't work for the UFC, because you're throwing around money like it's easy. But no, I've made a lot of money. And, I mean, I was I fought at the top of this sport since 2010. I fought Bigfoot Silva in 11, I think. I just barely had started. So if I haven't made enough money to retire from 11 to 2018 or 19, then I'll never make enough money to retire. Because it's not like I've been making 20 and 20 those years. I've been consistently over six figures for a long time. And for a long time now, over seven. So if I haven't made enough money to retire in nine years, I never will. So I'll be fine.
You say you've got one more fight after Lewis. We all know the two names that are likely that last fight is in Lesnar or Jones. Which way are you leading right now, if you have to pick one?
Well, I mean, obviously for competitive, my competitive drive, Jones. I want to fight Jones, but financially, you know, when you say, well, you got a $10 million payday or a $5 million payday, obviously Lesnar is the bigger payday. I don't know. I mean, I just kind of think about Lewis, you know, honestly, but competitively Jones, financially Lesnar, because again, I know what 850 feels like against Jones, and I know what 1.2 feels like against Lesnar in terms of buys. So I've experienced it. I'm not basing this on a guess.
Is the Lesnar fight that much bigger than Jones' fight, though?
It's been, when I was on the card with Brock, he fought Mark Hunt. He wasn't fighting for the title. It might be even bigger. Think about it. He fought Mark Hunt in a co-main event, and we did 1.2 million buys. Imagine if he's fighting for the heavyweight championship of the world. People will truly tune in. I got to tell you guys, when I was there July 7th, and I was in there with Lesnar, and he pushed me, I was like, holy shit, I'm having a WrestleMania moment. I got to be honest. I was having a WrestleMania moment, man. It was the greatest thing ever. I wanted to, like, hit him, but I was, like, my hand was hurting. He was big, and I was kind of thrown off. Like, his outfit was kind of jacked up. I was like, damn, Brock. I was like, Brock, your shoes are holding, his pants were in his shoes. Like, God damn, cowboy. Yeah, it was weird, but it was awesome. Hey, I want to fight Brock, though. It's going to be fun.
Do you think Brock will show up in New York?
Maybe. Brock kind of does whatever Brock wants, you know? Brock shows up in New York, then I try to, like, get him to come back into the octagon again. Have a Survivor Series moment.
Hey, just real quick about Lewis. It kind of strikes me as ironic. It's just like you've got you, who has been, you know, dedicated, lifelong athlete. You're known for... You embrace the grind work ethic, and he says that he's trained 30 minutes.
This is so crazy. He's lying. Derek Lewis is smart, man, because he's lying. He's not training 30 minutes a day. And when he goes to the fence and he's kind of like, I'm hurt so bad, I don't think he's hurt all that bad. Derek Lewis has been one of the greatest magicians the world has known for a long time, and we're just starting to catch up on his game. He doesn't train for 30 minutes. He worked out for you guys yesterday. It had to be more than 30 minutes, so. He didn't work out for you guys. Yeah. Holy shit. Derek Lewis might literally train 30 minutes. It's hard, though. It's different, though, right? It's like the complete opposite. You're right. My whole life has been spent in athletics and just truly, truly just grinding and working at everything to try to be the best. But some people just got it. Some people hit harder.
So what do you think of his post-fight speech after your 29?
You know, I didn't hear it because I was in there with Khabib, okay. But...
I
saw him in his underwear. I saw him in his underwear, and I was like, what is going on now? But, I mean, he has the best. Where Ronda Rousey, fine ass hit. That was still my favorite. That's my favorite.
Dave, you talked about the WrestleMania moment. How much have you thought about the possibility of showing up on WWE programming to promote this fight with Brock?
Not to promote the fight, but I will say this. If I didn't have this fight, I have been talking to the WWE because they wanted me to go in and do a audition as a member of the commentary team. So there you guys go. That was my private little thing. But because of the fight, I had to push it back. But no, there may be some DC and WWE shit coming.
When are you going to do that?
After the fight. I'll go down to Orlando and I'll go do my tryout.
You want to do this?
I do. I like it. I want to freak out. I want to freak out next to the thing with Vince in my ear going, say this, you asshole. Because I heard Vince tells you what to say. I'm like, okay, Vince, don't be surprised if I'm on TV and like a couple times I go, okay. And just say it. But I never want to not be in the UFC. I love calling fights. I just love being a part of the UFC, man. It's everything I ever dreamed of.
You look giddy talking about the WWE. How
I do.
Much of like a dream is that?
It's new. It's something new, right?
Yeah.
This is home. Over there is new. And most times new is fun and exciting, but I love being home. You know, this is where this is my place. I love the UFC.
Would you consider fighting in a WWE event after your UFC career, since it's not real fighting?
See, that's the problem. I'm not losing. I'm not going to lose to Brock in the WWE or here. So when they be like, DC, you gotta. I'll be on my. Brock will hit me with the F5, and like before they even get to one, I'm like, kick out on their ass. I was like, no selling all of his shit. He like punch me, bop. I'm like, what was that? Kick out. Nope. I'm not getting pinned.
Didn't you have a tryout with them years ago, like JR?
Way back in 2004, yeah. But they told me that I should. Kurt Angle was like, yo, keep wrestling, man.
Well, it was a different time, too, for you,
yeah,
right?
Different time. Kurt's like, keep wrestling. You have a chance to – you've been top five in the world the last 2 years. Go try to be an Olympic champ. And then after that, I was like, I want to fight. I like fighting better. But, yeah, I'd be in the WWE just no-selling Brock. Hard. They'd be like, you are the worst person to ever work with. Yeah.
Right, so let's put your analyst hat on. It's something you're doing, obviously, a lot more these days. Let's say the improbable happens. Let's say at Madison Square Garden, Derrick Lewis goes out and he finishes you. Where are you going to rank that in terms of all-time upsets in MMA history?
Man, you guys are going to make it seem like I'm not. I don't think Derrick Lewis can win, because I really do believe he's got an avenue to victory. I mean, I don't know. You have to tell me that. Where would it rank?
Lesser than Sarah GSP, but somewhere above, probably. Somewhere probably above Rockhold Bisping, below Sarah GSP.
So, fuck. You want to give me some pressure, huh?
Sure.
That is a little pressure, DC. Like the second biggest upset in the history of the sport. All right. Yeah. Okay. I'm just not going to let him win. I got to win the fight. I have to win the fight. I don't like to lose. I mean, you guys see, when I do, I cry. Who does that? Like, who cries? Me. That's how much I hate losing. I've been doing this since I was a kid. I've been crying since I was like 9 years old when I lose. I can't turn it off. I've got a wife and kids now. They look at me like, are you kidding me? I'm like, dude, I'm so sorry. I was like, it was not my intention. It was not my intention, but I cannot turn this shit off. I can't turn it off.
Is this the worst one, though, in terms of like you talked about sparring three different guys, five different rounds. Like, you thought maybe you weren't going to fight on this card. Your hand hurts. Like, has this been one of the hardest ones? Where like, oh, I gotta get in.
March, I try to do so much all the time. It's been hard because I used to kind of ease myself into it, right? But now I'm just like 0 to 100. But I mean, I've held up pretty good. And I guess the excitement in it is that it doesn't have to draw on for 2.5 months, right? So, kind of like. Nice that it's not super long.
How satisfying is it to have this type of environment if for once the conversation is not dominated by John Jones and your history?
It's really good, man. It's really good to have a little bit of separation. I truly feel like winning the heavyweight title has changed things. And regardless of me holding that belt and defending that belt and just fighting people off, tooth and nail, like literally just clawing and scratching to hold on to that light heavyweight title. People always kind of had it as it was, but now can't question anything. It was something that was totally outside of him, and to really push him into the conversation would not be fair to what I've done in my career.
When you line up Derrick Lewis among the heavy hitters that you face, obviously you haven't been hit by him yet, but where do you think that he stands in that realm among guys like Roy Nelson or other heavy hitters that you've gone against?
I mean, I think he hits as hard as those guys, like him, Roy, Rumble, Henderson. I mean, I fought some guys that have big power. Yeah, he'll be right up there. He'll be right up there because he's so big, you know. But he's got to be. You can't just be big. You got to be smart if you're gonna beat me. And I don't know if he's able to stay the course for 25 minutes to get the job done. We're good?
All right.
Thank you guys.
Thank you.
You guys are awesome.
Sit down, young man.
What's your issue with Daniel?
I want to know too.
He disrespected Popeye's chicken on a commercial a few years ago.